Welcome to Orphans No More, a radio extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry, a program dedicated to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless, advocating Christian families to adopt and get involved with foster care here in the Capital District, as well as globally, and encouraging and supporting those who've heard and heeded the call of James 1:27.
He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. Micah 6:8. Welcome to Orphans No More. I'm Sandra Flack, Executive Director of Justice for Orphans Ministry. My guest today is Jamie Grubb, an adoptive mom, chaplain, and founder and director, Executive Director of Compassionate Reach International, a ministry that exists to train others to be effective spiritual care providers and chaplains for grief, trauma, crisis, and disaster work. Her passion is to serve hurting people everywhere, especially children. Welcome to the show, Jamie.
Thank you for having me.
It's an honor to have you here. You and your husband, Dave, have 7 biological children.
We do.
And 1 son adopted internationally. You fostered over the years as well. So what led you to establish Compassionate Reach?
Well, in 1990, we lost a child through very traumatic circumstances. And at that time, I realized there really wasn't much of a support system, especially within the church. They didn't really know how to minister to grief and loss. I was diagnosed with PTSD, and I said to the doctor, "You're crazy. I have the peace that passes understanding." So over the years, trauma begets trauma. And we saw how much it affected our family. And the culmination of things was when we went through with just a significant amount of losses in the middle of doing respite and foster care. And I was out of control, and it was damaging my family and damaging us. So I started to seek care. What's going on? I felt like I was going crazy. And I realized, you know, this really was the effects of trauma and the impairment and the chemical changes in the brain and how much it affects people. So I really lived through it. And through that, with the adoption and the children in the house, I studied and learned the attachment trauma connection. And there's a huge, huge connection between attachment and trauma.
So that led you to focus on trauma training. So can you explain?
To a degree, yeah. As I started to pursue my own healing, I got involved with organizations that did trauma work. And I became a chaplain through that and founded the organization through that and started doing, just by accident, disaster work. And in the disaster work, I found myself constantly ministering to children without even meaning to. So that kind of brought me to that place of, you know, how this was all unfolding before me.
And how it kind of comes together. So disaster work would be like natural disaster stuff, like
I have attended most large-scale natural disasters in the United States, as well as post-earthquake Haiti, the Philippines after the super typhoon Yolanda, and more recently Nepal. And, you know, all the pieces from home with being an adoptive mom and then going into these areas, I never in a million years expected to work with kids. But I found when I got there, I was being requested. In the Philippines, I had school teachers who came to me for trauma resources, their own help, wanting to handle, understand what was going on in their own lives, say, "We need this for our schools." So the next thing you know, I'm training 125 school teachers and pastors and leaders to how to work with 700-800 children. And, you know, still plugged in today to that community. And the same thing happened in Nepal. We had people, school teachers and even American psychologists who came and said, "I have never worked with kids. I have never been on a disaster site. I don't know where to begin." And so that's kind of how the pictures just evolved into, wow, God, you know, I've always been involved with children, and this is just where you're putting me.
And I guess, at least I never think of it, maybe most people are this way, when you hear on the news about a natural disaster, you think, well, those people need to rebuild, and that's, you know, such a shame that happened to them. Probably a lot of people died. We don't really, at least I never did, really zero in on those people who survived now have been traumatized, and they have to rebuild their lives, but they've experienced such trauma, and it impacts children, it impacts a whole family.
It does.
And there needs to be healing from that.
It does, absolutely. And it increases the orphan population just exponentially, because poor people, especially in developing countries, are now even poorer And right. sometimes NGOs come in to help temporarily, and it ends up being a long-term thing, which yeah. it shouldn't be. And most children are relinquished because of the poverty, not because of the disaster.
Wow. So orphans, whether in foster care here in the United States or in overseas orphanages, they've experienced some degree of trauma and loss just by being in that situation. They've all experienced some form of loss, especially. Mm-hmm. And adoptive and foster parents here in the U.S. have access to trauma training and a whole host of resources from folks like Jane Schooler, the late Dr. Karen Purvis, mm-hmm. Empower to Connect, Orphans Promise, and so on. We have access to that here. But if a child remains in their birth country, their caregivers really don't know and don't understand how to give that trauma-competent caregiving. How crucial is it for NGOs and orphanage staff and churches to have this kind of training in trauma care?
It's really vital, actually, because you're also dealing with many of the caregivers have come from poverty situation. And as you know, poverty creates trauma in itself. Hungry children crying, not having their needs met. You know, it's a basic level of trauma that starts right there. And so they tend to react to the behavior of the children. Mm-hmm. So if a child is misbehaving, they assume that they're just being bad kids and there might be right. discipline involved. And they don't understand that this is actually brain chemistry, a fight, yes. flight, or freeze response. So first, it's addressing the caregivers. That's why with the teachers, we first addressed them. We got in touch with their trauma history. We educated them in what they're going through because they mm-hmm. felt crazy. They yeah. thought they'd never be feel right again, educating them that this is a new normal for you, or, you know, whatever your trauma background has been, that this is normal, and then how you can overcome that. So they in turn can look at the children and see them as kids that aren't misbehaving, but kids that are hurting. And it just changes the entire dynamics and the relationship between the caregiver and the children.
I know we experienced that with our own family, having adopted children internationally. You know, you start dealing with behaviors, and this could be with foster kids, kids adopted domestically even, or internationally. But, you know, here we are, you know, in our family, and you're dealing with all of this behavior. And it took a while for us to realize some of this behavior. We begin to see it through the eyes of this child has experienced fear.
Yes.
You know,
yep.
we know he's safe. We know he'll be fed again. We know no one is going to hit him or hurt him again. We know all of his needs are going to be met. He doesn't know that. By experience, he knows the opposite of
safety.
Exactly. And that impacts brain development, which impacts behavior.
Mm-hmm.
So it's crucial to understand where the behavior is coming from. It's
Absolutely.
Almost like you can't really parent the behavior. You have to see beyond that and what is causing it, what has happened
right.
in this child's
life. You have to parent
life.
The child and not
yeah.
the behavior. Yeah. And I saw the shame piece involved with trauma because
yes.
when caregivers react in a negative way, mm-hmm. they immediately feel guilt and shame. Same thing with the children, which just exacerbates the whole situation.
Yeah.
So part of it is just really teaching people to love themselves within the trauma as well and nurture themselves.
Mm.
And by nurturing themselves, nurturing others.
Yes. And that's a piece that I think we don't even think about.
Right.
You know, self-care
mm-hmm.
is crucial because it is so difficult when parenting a child from a hard place.
Right. Absolutely.
You know, it's hard and you do feel like you're completely out of control
mm-hmm.
and what is going on. And, you know, and I know in the early days in our parenting, before we really had this education ourselves, we made a lot of mistakes that
exactly.
we regret to this day and really added to the problem
right.
instead of helped the problem and,
right.
and instead of helping the child really. So, Jamie, with the trauma training, that part of it, what is your vision for your ministry, Compassionate Reach?
Well, I would like to really train and equip caregivers. And that means, you know, orphanage workers and those that are running small group homes to the school teachers that deal with kids and anybody who's involved with children within an orphan and vulnerable child setting to be able to understand the behavior that's behind this, to be able to understand it for themselves so they can be healed, so they can help to heal others. So my vision is really to be able to travel into these countries, spend in you know, indefinite amount of time. Usually it's a few weeks to a month, and really be able to reach the community, help them understand and identify these problems, and from that be able to bring home networking capabilities so that we can start to support these communities, to be able to keep the children in their communities, keep families together, family prevention, you know, unification, and it's a big vision, you know, but I really believe it starts with holistic healing. We often provide for the body and we forget to provide for the soul, or we provide for the soul and we forget to provide for the body. And God created us as really complex and unique individuals, and we need the whole package.
Yeah, I think a lot of times when people think, oh, help orphans, they think they need food and they need clothing and they need an orphanage so that they have a roof over their head. And we really miss that whole holistic
Absolutely.
Approach.
This is a very hard thing to fund for that reason, because they say, well, but, you know, what are you really doing to help them? And, right. you know, we, first of all, we never go in empty-handed. We always feed those we're training right. anyway. But, you know, I had somebody say to me, what good is food and water if you don't want to live anymore?
Exactly.
And, you know, we all need that place of, we all have that place of longing to be whole and be well, be accepted and be loved.
Mm. And I see that, you know, even with some of my own children, you know, here, again, we have the resources here in the States. You can, you know, how easy it is to go online and order books and learn about connecting and correcting and all of those things. And there's videos and there's YouTube and there's programs like, you know, Empower to Connect and all of these different things we have easy access to. So we bring our kids home and they're struggling and they've experienced trauma. We can help them.
Right.
But if they remain in their own country, those resources aren't there.
Right.
So it's good that they can remain in their own right. country and hopefully become productive citizens, but they still need to be ministered to.
Exactly.
You know, emotionally and that whole piece with healing that trauma.
Exactly. And even in this country, what I have found is there really still is a broad range of a lack of education of how much this does affect children
yeah.
within communities and within families and within foster care. So it really is important for people to understand the necessity
yeah.
of this.
And I was clueless because we adopted, we have an older daughter that we adopted domestically through a kinship situation many years ago. She was 8. She's now like 26. And, you know, we didn't think, oh, James 1:27. We just knew this kid needed a home and we took her into our family.
Right.
And sometime after that is when we felt called to adopt internationally. And the first, you know, we brought home a sibling group of 3 and they just miraculously fit into our family, a little speed bump here and there, mm-hmm. but really overall no problems with attachment, no problem, you know, it was just smooth sailing in a way.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Then we went back to Ukraine and adopted their youngest sibling, and we thought, we are adoptive parent pros because, you know,
exactly.
the last time we did this, we brought home 3 and that was went so wonderfully. And how hard could it be to bring home one little 5-year-old?
Mm-hmm.
And the second we met him in the orphanage, we were like, we are in big trouble because mm-hmm. this kid was off the charts, all over the place, you know, just feral. You know, we knew we were in trouble. And we were afraid, what are we going to do when they tell us, okay, now you can take him home, because mm-hmm. we knew we were ill-equipped. And we just survived the first several months of having him home and realized we need help helping him.
Right.
And in the pursuit of that, I found lots of resources and, mm-hmm. and found a good counselor who specialized in attachment disorders and things like that. So we began this journey of understanding what life is like with a child who has experienced trauma and neglect and abandonment and abuse and mm-hmm. and loss and all of that. And really, I had no clue. Even after bringing, you know, having adopted 4 other children, it took this one child to really put us in a place where we needed to learn this stuff.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So, and many people don't realize that you can trace a path to an orphan by looking at poverty, which
mm-hmm.
you've mentioned,
yep.
domestic violence, drug, alcohol abuse, disease, natural disasters,
yep.
and human trafficking.
Absolutely.
So I know human trafficking is a topic that we are both wrecked by. Mm-hmm. So share with us about the link between orphans and trafficking.
Well, that's become, as you know, kind of new to me, and but very dear to my heart. And as I think I was talking to you, we had been to Nepal, and I realized that something was missing when I was there, and I realized it was girls within a certain age and even boys. And then as you start to study and you realize that the orphans that are aging out, which is a huge problem with orphanages today, children age out. They're not equipped to live within their culture. They've had washing machines within their orphanages, and they don't know how to wash by hand. You know, they're not necessarily taught basic skills to live within their community or culture. And traffickers are just waiting, primed, to grab these girls when they come out. You also have, and boys, you also have children that are being trafficked by the orphanage caregivers themselves. And in situations where the orphanage population has increased because of poverty, you know, after a natural disaster, now you've got children that are being trafficked during the impact phase when they go to shelters and places for help, or their parents have died, or they're just separated from their parents, and traffickers are actually there waiting for them to show up at feeding sites and shelters. But more often, they were relinquished later on because of poverty. Again, those who were poor are even poorer, and they don't know what they're giving their children up to. They think they're sending them to get a job somewhere, and they end up trafficked. So there's a huge connection between the children aging out. They have no skills. They've got all these emotional, behavioral problems, and they're a ripe target for traffickers.
So we're going to get back to that in just a moment, but I want to remind our listeners that this is Orphans No More, a radio extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry. To learn more about adoption, foster care, global orphan care, or to contact us about today's show, visit our website, justicefororphansny.org. My guest today is adoptive mom, chaplain, and founder and executive director of Compassionate Reach, Jamie Grubb. Compassionate Reach is a ministry which exists to train others to effective spiritual care, to be effective spiritual care providers for grief, trauma, crisis, and disaster work. Her passion is to serve hurting people everywhere, especially orphans. Jamie, we were just talking about the human trafficking component and how traffickers prey upon orphans. And I know that was one of the things that just wrecked me when I began, you know, when God first got a hold of my heart about this whole orphan thing. I had already, you know, my husband and I had already adopted children, and it was through putting together an Orphan Sunday service that I began to research some statistics, and I was searching orphan statistics.
Sure.
I kept getting trafficking statistics, and at first, naively, I was like, you know, okay, Google, what's up? You're mixing this up. But then I realized why I was getting those statistics, and one that disturbed me because four of my children were born in Ukraine. One disturbed me because it was a statistic about Ukrainian orphans and how Ukraine has the highest number of girls trafficked out than any of the other countries in Eastern Europe.
Yeah.
And I knew about trafficking, and I always thought trafficking happened in Asia, in places like Cambodia. I didn't really ever connect it with Eastern Europe or even the United States,
sure,
which is, it's happening here. So it's disturbing. And we talk about, you mentioned aging out. And aging out is just this, or graduating.
That's right.
I know Ukraine often uses the word graduate, and it makes it sound like, you know, moving up day. You're graduating and moving on to these wonderful things. And really, it's when an orphan becomes a certain age, usually around age 16, and the government is done providing for them in that orphanage, and they're basically graduated, aged out to the street.
Exactly.
And they have no life
Nothing.
Skills. They have barely any education, really. They have no resources. They don't have a job. They don't have a family to go to.
Exactly.
So where do they go?
And in many areas, it's also a cultural thing that they're outcasts.
Yeah.
And they're part of a caste system.
Yes.
So now not only are they lacking all those skills, but nobody even wants to look in their direction because they're outcasts.
That's right. And I just was speaking to a friend of mine who is a missionary in Ukraine. He's home for a temporary time before he returns back. And he was an orphan in Ukraine himself. He was adopted by a family here. And he works primarily with orphans in Ukraine. And he was saying how he recently attended a graduation ceremony at an orphanage that they'd been working in. And he said outside the orphanage, there were all these cars lined up. And he said the girls could, after the graduation, he said the girls who graduated could have the option of going in one of these cars because they would be offered a job where mm-hmm. they would make lots of money, or they could take the metro, the train, and go into the city.
Exactly.
Which they would probably end up in prostitution mm-hmm. there as well. But basically, those cars lined up were traffickers.
Oh, that's sad.
And he said some girls chose to get in those cars mm-hmm. because they're told, you know, we're going to give you a job and you're going to make
exactly.
money. You'll have a job. We'll take care of you.
And they don't really know what they're getting into.
They have no clue.
You know, one of the things I learned recently, which really blew me away, is that traffickers in the really organized sense, even the pimps here in the United States, study psychological torture so that they can manipulate the children that badly.
Yeah.
They are the same as a terrorist group.
Yeah.
And when you think about that, how terrorists, psychologically manipulate people until they break. Mm. And this is what our kids are going through.
Yeah.
Now I can look at it and go, no wonder these children leave with these people. They just don't know any better.
They don't know any better. And girls especially, and it happens to boys too, but girls especially, you think about, they've been orphaned. They want to be loved.
Exactly.
They want to be accepted. They want to be cared for. And they're very easily manipulated into this is what this is going to be.
Exactly.
And they have no clue the nightmare that they're about to step into,
exactly.
which they cannot get out of. And it was just, I couldn't sleep last night after having this conversation with this young man because that's all I could think about. And I have a daughter who's 16 years old who was born in Ukraine, and that would be her life mm-hmm. right now had mm-hmm. she not come home to us. And it's just, it wrecks me.
Mm-hmm.
So as we get ready to wrap up here, Jamie, we still have several minutes, but what is really on your heart for our listeners to walk away with today from this conversation?
To really understand that the world is full of vulnerable orphans. And, you know, we are called to seek justice, as Micah 6:8 said, and that takes on many forms, but it begins with children. God's heart is definitely for children, and people don't always expand their vision or horizon of what that looks like. And it very often is going, not just bringing them here into our community,
right.
but going into their communities and preventing these horrors from happening and helping them to grow up with a holistic and whole, you know, model of life so that they're more accepting to Christ in their life. Because if you're just living by fear and that's all you have, and if you're living by survival, I love the fact that you use the word feral. Because I just think about a feral cat mm-hmm. and how you can't even get near them.
Right.
You know, how are you going to show them the love of Christ when you can't even really get near them? You can't really even break into that mindset. So, you know, I just like listeners to realize how important it is to care for the orphans and vulnerable children. And it is it just is what we're called to seek justice for these children.
And to talk about the trauma piece again, to bring that up, because that is what you do with your ministry. You go in and you train churches, NGOs, caregivers in how to care for these children who have been traumatized.
Right.
And that's such an important piece. And what do you want us to know about trauma? What can you tell prospective adoptive families, foster families?
Well, I think probably one of the most important components to me, too, is for parents to look at their own trauma history. I didn't know my own trauma history. So when we went through all these trials and this stuff started coming out, you know, I thought I had the peace that passes understanding. It was just trauma begets trauma. And we live in a world where 95% now of people will experience some form of trauma. It's on the news. You can't even go on Facebook anymore without negativity flying.
Mm.
So it's really important for people to get in touch with their own history and then be educated for their children. Don't just think, you know, every child's going to come into the house and love is going to be enough to make it, because it's love and knowledge.
Yes.
How do I reach this child? We have to be knowledgeable how to help these children. Therapy is great, but that's only once a week sometimes or whatever. We're their parents. We're the ones that are building connections. We're the ones that are creating love. So we need to have the tools to be equipped to help these kids.
And there is help.
Absolutely.
That I know we talked about early intervention makes a difference. A child who's experienced trauma has experienced, it impacts brain development.
Exactly.
But the brain is a very plastic thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they can learn
absolutely
and overcome these
mm-hmm.
things. But we need to know as parents how to do that,
how to
as
help
caregivers
them.
How to do that.
Exactly.
And like you said, our own past history comes into play
exactly.
when we're parenting children from hard places.
Self-care is important. And as Christians, we're taught to give. But until we take care of ourselves too, the better. The old saying we use in trauma care is put the oxygen mask on first. You know, when you're on the airplane.
Right.
And you put the oxygen mask on first to take care of others. And that's just a great image because it really does work that way. If we're burned out, it's really hard to keep your patience with children who are all over the place. But when we're regulated,
right.
you can't, an unregulated parent cannot regulate an unregulated child. So
That's
we have
right.
to keep ourselves regulated.
Self-care is crucial. So how can our listeners connect with you if they want to learn more about your ministry and what you're doing?
Our website is www.compassionatereach.org. You can also email me at jamie@compassionatereach.org. And, you know, I'm pretty easy. Surf the net. It's Compassionate Reach International. I'm also on Facebook. Compassionate Reach International is on Facebook. And I'm on Facebook, Jamie Grubb. So I'm pretty easy to connect.
Pretty easy to find.
Yes.
Well, thank you, Jamie, for joining us today and for all that you are doing on behalf of orphans and families. That trauma training is crucial. I know that firsthand. So thank you.
Thank you for having me.
And again, I'm Sandra Flack of Justice for Orphans Ministry, reminding you that Orphan Sunday is less than 4 months away. Get it on your church calendar for November 13th, 2016. To learn more about Orphan Sunday, to get free resources, video clips to show in your church, sermon notes. It doesn't cost anything to do Orphan Sunday. You can spend 10 minutes on it in your entire service or as much as you want. You can learn all those details at orphansunday.org. You can also contact me, Sandra Flack, through my website. I'm available to speak at your church or anytime. For Orphan Sunday or anytime, you can contact me through our website at justicefororphansny.org.
Thank you for supporting this program by listening today, sharing what you've heard, and praying for orphans and children in need everywhere. More information is available at justicefororphansny.org. Visit and discover how you can make a difference in a child's life. And be sure to tune in to Orphans No More next Friday.